Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock, and producer, Remus. The Winnipeg Jets have opened up their 2014-15 exhibition season with a 2-1 victory over the Minnesota Wild. Richard, it's obviously exhibition football, so we're not going to get too...
Hockey.
Pardon me. We were watching the football highlights.
That's very fitting, Drew.
Yeah,
sorry. You're off your game.
I'm off my game. Everybody's off their game.
Even though you've been working all summer.
Yeah, it's okay. I wasn't working that hard. Exhibition hockey. Thank you for correcting me. We're not going to obviously break down the game in too much detail. What we'll do is we're going to go through the relevant players and talk about the ones that stood out to us, the new guys that the Jets fans that were in attendance tonight at MTS Center were really interested in keeping an eye on. Just a quick overview of what you saw in the game in general before we get to the specifics?
Drew, the veterans are the veterans, and there was kind of a veteran scoring line at the number two line really this year, and Little, Ladd, and Bufflin for the most part. We don't know if it's going to be Frolik or Bufflin on that second line. And then you had your veteran like John Albert and Peluso, those guys. But it was key to really see the young players, which we'll focus on here. And I thought we saw some good things from the young players. And keeping in mind they're playing against a Minnesota team that has probably four or five NHL guys on the roster.
Yeah.
But when you're seeing young guys with nerves in a first game and then their hometown, any positives that you can draw from that, you try to. And I think there were more than a few on a couple of the guys, and let's focus on that.
Sure, absolutely. To your point, though, you're saying that you can only evaluate the guys in the circumstances they're placed into. So, yes, it would be nicer to evaluate them against the world champion Los Angeles Kings in their full roster, but that's not going to happen in the preseason. You have to see what you see. You see what you see in practice and in training camp, and then try and extrapolate it into the real regular season situations.
Right, Drew. And I thought even in a game like tonight, an exhibition game, which again, you can't read too much into, as we just mentioned, size was a factor tonight. The Jets were small tonight. They iced a small roster, especially up front, and even on the back end, too, for that matter. And that was a factor against a Minnesota team that was bigger, but not necessarily as skilled.
Let's start on the back end. We'll start with, I guess we're going to do this almost in a numeric order.
Sure.
He's the lowest number on the Jets roster in terms of the younger guys. That's Josh Morrissey. Played defense today primarily with Keaton Ellerbe. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Morrissey's game today?
Drew, he didn't stand out too much to me. I got to be honest, I was focusing a little bit more on the forwards, but he played kind of a quiet game. He took a penalty at the end there, the high sticking. But nothing really to draw your attention to, and frankly, that's not a bad thing for a young defenseman.
Sure.
So it was one of those things where I'd like to get a couple more shots at him to see how he played. But nothing overwhelming, but nothing underwhelming either. So the defense overall tonight, you kind of saw similar problems to last year. And when I say that, I mean Enstrom and Bogosian. Kind of weird decisions and getting boxed out in front of your own net. The defenseman getting boxed out. Size being an issue, decision-making being an issue. It doesn't mean that they weren't making good decisions, especially offensively. They created some. But you watch that defense, and again, albeit it's an exhibition game, you watch that defense and think to yourself, that's not a good enough defense to make it in the NHL to the playoffs. That's just not. That's what I think. And, certainly it could be wrong, but you look at Enstrom and his ability to defend is troublesome, and Bogosian's decision making. Do you ever change that?
Yeah, at this point in his career.
Yeah, and we'll see. And Morrissey's obviously a smart player, so he doesn't fall under that. And the other guys, Brendan Kitchen, I thought, showed off some nice skills, some hands. He's not the fastest guy in the world, not the biggest defenseman, and I think on this squad doesn't really fit in. But there's some flashes there, and then the other guys are you're getting there. So
right. That's the key. That would be Keaton Ellerbe tonight. That'd be Ben Chiarot tonight. Kitchen.
But with your defense here, Drew, really, aside from Mark Stewart, who again is a solid bottom pairing guy, you're missing your best defenseman, Jacob Trouba.
Right.
But that's it. So and again, I'm just talking big picture here. Is there some nothing here to say, oh my God, an exhibition game would make me concerned. But the overall, if you take a big picture,
sure,
look at it, the defense is a little bit of an issue. Now, of course, the defense is helped by better players or up front and all that stuff, but
which is the same.
I could go on about the defense for a while.
Right, which is the same problem we've been talking about all offseason. It was just important to see a guy there is that. If you want to pick through the Jets' defense, you would say that there's the void on the second pairing left side.
But we'll get into this more, obviously, as the season goes on. But Even Bogosian and Enstrom playing, you know.
Sure, they have their issues.
Like, you're talking about left side, and I agree, at top four skill level. And Bogosian, Enstrom, and Trouba have all top four skill level. I think it would go in the order of Trouba, Enstrom. Enstrom's got great skill, he's not big enough.
Right.
You could argue there. And then Bogosian. But the idea is, you know, that's not in the same echelon as Chicago, St. Louis, and the teams you're competing against. It's certainly better than Dallas, but... Anyhow.
You're right. The defense
is... Not Nashville. Same thing. Seth Jones and Shea Weber.
Sure. Everyone would say that. It's just the question. Yeah. You know, today, the big sort of training... One of the big training camp questions is, who's going to fill that second line left side defensive spot? And, you know, people sort of have potentially penciled in Josh Morrissey, so it was important to see him in his first action today. And I agree
with
you.
Didn't pay him enough attention, frankly. So, right. I mean, it's hard for me to comment. But from the little I did see of him... focus on him.
No glaring errors.
Yeah, nothing crazy.
And nothing that made you say, oh, wow, nope. That's his spot for sure.
Yep.
Which is fine
for
a young guy.
Right.
Nick Patan. He played today, you know, centerman Nick Patan, second-round draft pick last season.
Wait, you see the skill level. You see the stick-handling ability. You see the ability to read the seams. You see some good things. He's not a breakaway speed guy, necessarily. And he's not a poor skater by any means, but do you have to be a breakaway speed guy to succeed at the level that he's at size-wise? It's a question. I need to see more of him. And I wonder if center is the position for him. But I certainly liked him when he was on the power play on the half board. Certainly you could evident that he would fit there. You know, kind of similar to a Matthew Perreault kind of type that way.
We'll get to him.
But, you know... You can see why he was drafted second round skill-wise, and you can see why he was drafted second round size-wise.
Yeah. He centered a line tonight between Adam Lowry and Michael Frolik. So
they moved around. They put the kids together a bit, but yeah.
Yeah, they moved around. I mean, it's exhibition, like everything else. The lines only stay together for so long. Mm-hmm. Adam Lowry's game, again, talking about a guy who, you know, the Jets have a hole on the third line left wing position, and people have maybe written down Adam Lowry's name. What did you think of Lowry's game tonight?
I think he acquitted himself quite well. I mean, I like his play on the penalty kill. He takes up a lot of room. You know, he can move around pretty well for a big guy. And not going to be dominating you with speed, but I think he gets around pretty well. Like, he's a pretty good, solid skater. Not the best you'll ever see. Long stick, takes away lanes, physical, willing to go to the net, willing to go to the corners. So, I mean, right now, after what I saw in one game, I mean, certainly better than what Eric Congratti is going to add for you. So, need to see more, but I was encouraged. Again, offensively, you didn't see too much, but you saw some of the little things there, and ideally, you want to ease him in on the fourth line left wing. But I'm not sure this team has that luxury.
Right. But tonight, good size. You saw, you know, again, not playing against, I mean, the team that Minnesota Wild brought here was...
A useful player.
Very thin.
Useful player. And a guy, you know, we talked about it, Patan, Ehlers, we'll talk about Ehlers, Morrissey, Kitchen. I mean, let's talk about it, Drew. The only guy there really is anything size-wise is Lowry.
That's right.
That's a big difference. I mean, how big? The other four guys I just mentioned to you might not be over 6'1". And I think Lowry 6'5". Big difference.
Yeah.
It's a big man's game.
Doesn't mean
you can't succeed as a small guy, but it's a big man's game.
And you could see him on the ice tonight, the size
for
that
sure.
he brings. I mean, he's a presence on the ice.
And I like using him on the penalty kill.
Sure.
Second PK tonight, it was good. Yeah.
Like you said, clog up lanes with that long stick and everything else.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's a good, you know, just go out there, focus on your defensive responsibilities, and everything else will come with time
that's
and experience.
Right. That's right.
Next player we want to talk about. We talked about Brendan Kitchen already. We talked about Ben Chiarot. Matthew Perreault. He was the only real free agent signing of any significance.
Again,
small guy, though, and this is something we talked about during the game as we were sitting here. You know, as a center in this rugged Western Conference, what did you see of Perreault, and what can you foretell about him in this team?
First thing I'll tell you is I like his game. Sees the ice well. Nice passer. I like him on the half boards and the power play. I think that was certainly what they envisioned when they signed the guy. He can makes players better. Mm-hmm. So I like that about him. I thought he played a solid game. For sure, got robbed on the backstrom shot.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought, you know, really nice game for Matthew Perreault. My concern lies more so not really from anything that happened today, a time or two, but more so, you know, the question is, and this gets down to really good teams and what they, you know, decision-making and matchups. And it's, can a guy like Perreault defend well enough along the boards as a center in his own zone? He's very small. He's not that big. I mean, he can be big and small.
Right.
Right. Short and big, really. But he's not really that. So Can the Jets, against big teams, be able to defend down low? And if not, are you putting a winger there to support him, like an Adam Lowry? And if that, in that case, are you, in, and we were talking about this during the game, are you entrusting a young guy with a role that maybe he's not fit for? And then are maybe you trying to compensate for that? So, I mean, these are things that the team will talk about. But overall, I mean, to me, Perreault is... Now, Jokinen's size certainly is an asset, defensive zone, even if he didn't make sometimes the best reads. But these are things that, that the team's take into account. But he's an upgrade over Jokinen, because he makes players better, and Jokinen didn't do that.
Goaltenders, we'll talk about both Pavlik and Hutchinson.
Yep.
Pavlik played the first half of the game.
They're both good.
You know, I think he had 12 shots. Yeah. I think he made 20, yeah. 12 shots. Hutchinson gave up a goal with 14 seconds to go in the game.
Blown coverage.
Yeah, but for the
Hutchinson
most part...
Hutchinson was good, too. I thought they were both solid. Again, you're not talking about big-time talent on the other side, but I thought the goaltending was nothing to be... concerned about tonight. If you're the Jets, you're happy with the way the goaltenders play.
Yeah.
Hutchinson. He looks good every game.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's a few games, but he's a pretty quick wrong. You know, he's a little bit sloppier side to side. I thought last year, even tonight, it looked a little tighter. So, yeah.
Goaltenders
are hard to predict,
though. Yeah, they're certainly a bit of a crapshoot. All in all, for a first exhibition game to start the 2014-15 season, things went well for the Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah. Ehlers quickly before.
I'm sorry. We forgot about Nick Ehlers. Yes. That's the last guy we wanted to talk about.
We'll wind up with him. And I thought Nikolai Ehlers, I mean, you can see top 10 skill. Because there was nobody else in the Jets roster who was a top 10 draft pick recently, right?
Right.
Even Morrissey's outside the top 10. And you can see the skill level. I mean, you can see 7th overall skill level.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful stick handler. Fast, willing to go to anywhere dirty areas. He was going to the dirty areas tonight. Didn't really take too many shots on goal. Did he have any shots on goal?
I'm going to check real quickly here. No, did not have any shots on goal.
So didn't have
at least wasn't credited with any.
Well, you see what I mean. Like, he wasn't necessarily putting the puck on net or wasn't putting the puck on net as it may be. You notice him 100% because he's got the skill level. The one concern I have, and I don't have any concern at all with this guy's skill level. Very impressive player. But he got beat around tonight. I mean, Charlie Coyle served him his lunch. I think it was Stu Bickel served him his lunch a couple of times. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I think he needs another year in junior, needs some more seasoning and put some bulk on. And with a young guy and with a smaller guy like Ehlers, you can't put too much bulk on because it takes away from his speed. So you want him to, you don't want to put him 20 pounds in a week.
Right.
You want him to work it throughout the year, make sure he can maintain it throughout the course of the season, you know, play in the queue, playoffs, and all that stuff. So I was impressed with what I saw, but it doesn't change what I would plan for him if I were making that decision. But you had to be encouraged because he looked really sharp skill-wise.
There you have it from the MTS Center here at up in the press box. I'll run through the scoring list so far tonight. Jets opened the scoring at the 14-15 mark of the second period after a scoreless first. Dustin Byfuglien got his first of the exhibition season on the power play, assist to Enstrom and Ladd. Big bullet from Big Buff beats, I believe that was Ilya Brizgalov in net for the Wild at that point in time. Jets made it 2-0 at the 4:27 mark of the third period. Brian Little finishes off a nice passing play from Michael Frolik and Andrew Ladd. So it's 2-0 for the Jets up until the last 14 seconds of the game at the 19:46. Six mark Grauvac for Minnesota. I'll be honest, I don't know much about him. Jason Zucker gets the assist along with Christian Folland. So that made it 2-1, and the Jets were able to hold on and defeat the Minnesota Wild in the opener for both teams by a 2-1 margin. Jets are next in action on Wednesday night here at MTS Center. Just so you know, there will be no post-game podcast as we all have outside obligations that'll prevent us from doing the podcast on Wednesday. We will return next Tuesday with the post-game podcast after the Jets-Senators exhibition game. And, of course, Saturday, 9 a.m. to 12 noon, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's our season preview special, 9 a.m. on TSN 1290. For my colleague Richard Pollock, for producer Michael Remus, for Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com, and for Ezra Ginsberg, who's downstairs getting some audio from the Jets dressing room, we thank you for listening to the post-game podcast. Stay tuned from dressing room audio from both the Jets and the Wild, and we'll see you on Saturday on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for listening.